welcome to another episode of Working with Purpose. Our show is dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. My name is David Stark, and my co-host Justin Royer has the week off. But today we're going to be looking deeper at the topic of augmented reality, virtual reality, and what's eventually going to become mixed reality. And I'm a movie buff. If you listen at all, you know I love movies. But usually there are movies that reflect sort of what the future could be or not be like. And right now, of course, Ready Player One is all about this. I guarantee I won't spoil the plot during this program. But it is very Spielberg rolled up his sleeves, and it's very informative about what could happen in the whole virtual reality space. And we'll get into that. But once again, I want to talk today about what are these things, first of all, so we know what they are, and then we're going to move into kind of what's happening on the job front, especially with these technologies. So the first one is augmented reality, and this is the ability to insert digital objects into a camera view of the real world, right? So that means something can come right on you're looking at it, and there's something in your field like that. This, of course, pilots have had for a long time in their headsets. If you're an Iron Man buff, then you saw it inside of Tony Stark's headsets, what he was doing. But this is becoming very common to actually add that. So you've got information in your field that's been put there by statistics or by data that they're adding to that. So usually it involves some kind of headset and not just a flat screen, although we're kind of in between that right now. The virtual reality is diametrically the opposite of this. And that means it immerses you into a fictional digital or virtual space. Now, it may be based on data, so it's not that it's not necessarily disconnected from reality, but it's been fictionalized. And so you're seeing, of course, the big place you see this is in games, right? And so they're doing this all the time. And then finally, is mixed reality, as you would guess, is the combination of these two together. So you've got reality, you've got augmented reality, and you've got virtual reality happening in the same screen as you're looking at it. We'll get more into that later. But I want to talk about how businesses need to engage with this, because at the moment, we're at about maybe 10 million users of virtual reality. Augmented reality is a little bit more, but it's destined to go to 20 billion by 2020. This is going to be an explosion. And the best folk in this field believe it's going to be bigger than the other ones because it's categorically different, and we'll talk about that in a little while here. But let's start, first of all, at how this might be important. Well, first of all, you're talking about multi-sensory engagement, right? So customers are actively involved in learning about using the products actively before they even buy them. And so you're immersed in something you see, something you hear, something you touch, sometimes something you smell. And so your experience of the possible product or service is much deeper than it would be by description or even by video. And so the second reason this is important in the sales cycle is that it's called intelligent engagement. That simply means that the augmented reality, if you're looking at it that way, is going to share relevant and useful information, which is going to make your experience of test driving something. In fact, test driving in terms of physically test driving may be a thing of the past, because you just put on, these kind of glasses or whatever, and you're actually behind the wheel and doing it real time and looking at it lots of ways. And that can give you a deeper connection to the potential product or service you're thinking about. Thirdly, an emotional connection. So done well, you have a good emotional reaction in this experience, and realize we're talking about experiences here. That's what it is. You're immersing yourself in the actual virtual space of these products. And so you may like the style or the beauty. You may actually respond to some of the features and benefits you'd never seen before. There's all kinds of ways that it might excite you as you're actually experiencing it in advance. And number four, it's a deeper understanding of the differentiating value of the company. I thought about this. I had a friend of mine who's a great sales trainer, and he was selling, a medical response insurance deal. And he had his differentiating value of his company was great customer service. And so consequently, when you called this particular insurance that he was trying to sell, you got a person on the line. He was selling, that's a little bit more expensive to buy this, but the competitor was doing it completely by recordings and we'll send you to this place, click, 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 click before you got to a live person, right? So they wanted to do everything online. And so what he did is this customer's right on the edge of going either way. He said to the customer, do me a favor, hang up and try to call this other place and see how many clicks it takes you to get to a real person. And so he did. He hung up, and the guy tried and called back and said, I got it. I'm going to buy the customer service. But can you imagine that actually can be shown virtually? The guy doesn't even have to call. You're just actually watching somebody try the other company and the frustration with it versus getting a real person. In other words, you're actually going to experience that in advance, and it can accent your differentiating value as a company is where this is going. That's all related to sales. Also, for businesses, the educational space is going to transform a lot from this type of technology. So simulations of all kinds of trainings are going to happen, right? So real situations, before you're in real situations, you can actually, for example, in the medical field, when you're training medical students, they can replace cadavers with virtual reality bodies and, doing surgery on it, everything else. It's a completely easier way to do that. When I did this, I was down during the Super Bowl time here in Minneapolis, and I went into the virtual reality of the U.S. Bank Stadium, and it's like you're in a game, right? You're there, and there's people there, and you can look around. It's just like the real thing before you actually walk in and do that. That's going to happen in all kinds of trainings, all kinds of ways of getting people into the educational space in a much bigger way. Also, it's a better way of learning because you're experiencing something and it makes the knowledge faster and deeper than you can do by watching it on a screen or in 2D or in somebody just trying to describe it by words. It will really help education a lot. You're going to see it go there a lot. So, for example, today, and you can always tell by how the up-and-coming generations are playing exactly what's going to be happening. So a lot of the younger generations now in video games, which has, of course, been around for a long time, is they'll hear about a game. They'll go to YouTube. They'll watch it. They'll actually be able to experiment it. They'll choose it. They'll download it. They're in the game. Notice there was no human being in that buying of that particular game. It was just simply to virtual reality to actually look at it and then actually do it. So let's talk about what are jobs sound like. These are the jobs that are on Indeed right now that relate to this whole topic. So you can be an augmented virtual reality engineer. So this is a type of engineer. Or you can be a virtual reality medical robot software engineer. In other words, the medical community is going to be using the virtual reality in terms of surgery big time and how robots can help in that whole process in addition to the things you're seeing. A simulation developer. There's going to be lots of people that are going to need simulations for whatever it is they're doing, not just becoming pilots or some other kinds of things to be common in many things. Or an education platform consultant, because all of a sudden education now has got to add this dimension to what it's doing. Its teaching is going to go way up if they do that, right? I have a friend, for example, that does lots of safety video online. He sells it to companies. But can you imagine that the safety actually immerses you in the possible situation, shows you how to deal with it right there? You can actually respond to it right there. Touch it or do the right things just so you know what safety looks like. Or a community manager of augmented and virtual reality. So a whole community may be interacting about something and they can actually visualize it and be in that space together. Or a virtual reality scenario developer. So somebody who's going to look at all these possible scenarios, especially, for example, it's a different way of looking at a strategy in the future, is you actually see it virtually and you can evaluate looking all around the product, looking at layers of the product, thinking about how that's going to play, et cetera. And a senior graphics engineer. So graphics, notice how all of this is visual. We're talking about the eyes here that are really doing that. But so let me tell you what we move from in the next 10 years, at least the people that are best in this field that have really looked at this. They call it the fourth transformation, is the name of their new book. But they said we're going to move from apps to experiences. Now, I happen to have, at the moment, a good experience on Match.com, right? So Match.com it's got pictures and it's got writing, right? And then you begin to basically email between each other what's happening. It's going to move to where you're actually virtually with the person, right? And so you're 3D experiencing each other in a space, talking to each other in advance about what's going on. They're already starting to move close to this, but it's a completely different kind of experience. I know very many times, for example, in my short time with this, is the pictures don't do justice to the person. And so many times I've looked at pictures that are attractive to me, and it's not so when I get in reality, or the opposite. It doesn't look that attractive, and then I'm very attractive when I get there. That's just the visual experience of it. But you can imagine being able to experience the personality in advance and values and stuff long before you're going out on a first date. So that's a place where apps are going to move to experiences, and you're going to see more and more of that. You're going to move from screens to glasses. And so it's an immersion kind of thing. You know, when Google Glass came out, it was ahead of its time, and it had some real clunky parts to it, but they are moving quickly forward to where everything you need is built into the stems of those glasses. So you've got it all right there with you, virtual and augmented, in addition to real happening through the eyeglasses themselves, you know. So therefore they believe it could move to from what you hold, your iPhones or your smartphones, to what you wear, because it's all going to be built into those glasses, all right? So you're moving from fingers to eyes, and that's where this technology is really going. It's the ability to look at parts on your visual screen that's in front of you, and it actually activities begin to happen. Ordering supplies, you can be calling up somebody you want on the screen, whatever it is. That's actually going to happen by eyes, not by fingers in the future, which means the next thing, which is you move from reality to augmented, real, and virtual mix, where you can't tell the difference. We're going to talk more about that when we get to some of the dangers of this. But they're getting so good at it, you don't know what's real and what's not real within your screens, and that's going to become much more a reality for people. You also move from sitting to actively engaging. So when you're sitting in front of any kind of screen, of course, you're just sitting there tapping or touching or experiencing. These you're moving around, because you can move around through the whole situation and be driving or whatever, hopefully not too much driving, but other kinds of things where you're moving and being active with it. So it becomes from passive to active, much more active, right? You're moving from using tech to speak to other people to where you're going to be talking to machines themselves more and more. And that's a huge shift from where this technology has been used in so far. You're listening with Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Working with Purpose, a program dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business, and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. We'll get back to more in a moment. First, I want to remind you of the opportunity to dialogue with David and Justin on these important topics. You can join the conversation, sign up to receive blog posts, get updates on upcoming events and offerings, and more through their website, davidstarkcollective.com. It's davidstarkcollective.com, or find them on Twitter at Stark Collective. David and Justin are also available to speak on a variety of topics related to working with purpose, and will help you go beyond discussing these concepts to putting them into action. They team up together to advise and consult with businesses, organizations, and ministries. Find out more by going to davidstarkcollective.com and opening either the speaking or consulting pages of the platform. Now, let's get back to part two of Working with Purpose.
Welcome back to Working with Purpose. We're doing a show today on augmented virtual and reality and what those technologies are going to do for business. But you can tune in anytime. Listen to our podcast at davidstarkcollective.com. You can find us on Twitter at Stark Collective. Lots of people go to iTunes under Working with Purpose and give us feedback there. We'd like for you to do that. In the first half of this program, we were looking at all of the job, what jobs sound like in this world, kind of what a lot of the applications are going to be for sales and for companies to use. Realize that this technology is based on three other technologies we've talked about. The first one is the Internet of Things, IoT. It's the backbone. Why? Because all of the augmented reality data comes in from sensors. So consequently, they're in real time getting sensors from things around them, and that's what's populating all of this extra data on your screen that augments what you're actually seeing in reality. The other one is called point cloud technology. That simply means in any screen right now, what's happening is that visible data and everything it can take in, they can make into virtual objects right away. So you can have lots of data coming at you, but boom, there it is in some kind of visual reality. Not the real thing in this case, but it's been created into a virtual kind of object. And then AI, which is pattern recognition, which simply means that the lenses are constantly going through the process of pattern recognition. And as they do that, they see things in patterns that we're not even seeing there. And that allows for machines to talk to machines in the process of this whole thing, learning more about whoever the client is or the person using augmented reality. It also allows them to order supplies or do all kinds of things behind the scenes by the augmented pattern recognition. So that's going on. Imagine now that we move to a visual web. This is why Zuckerberg got really involved in this. What's that mean? That means it transcends locality. So in other words, if I can just see something, I can be in Detroit and I'm looking at something in Peru real time. And I'm seeing it and what it looks like. That's a visual web's part of that. It transcends languages. So picture that a lot of our buying became visual. We just punched on that. I want that or that. I can look all the way through it without any language. I'm just doing that. And also obviously transcends 2D screens into 3D reality. And so we're just starting to get into this, the precursor technologies. Instagram does this, right? Snapchat does this. Pinterest does this. It's really primarily visual, the whole thing. And so you can imagine applying that to commerce, where I'm looking at four different types of speakers, for example, all over the world. Well, what I'm really doing is just doing a deep dive into what they look like, you know, maybe with some augmented reality of all this, you know, stuff you want to know about it, et cetera. And so all of a sudden, you begin to transcend languages, which would be huge international trade in terms of what that means, right? So, and so we're going to move more and more to that. But once again, why is this so critical? Well, because Gen Z right now, it's affecting how they learn. It's affecting how they socialize now, right? It's affecting how they solve problems. It's affecting on how they're going to conduct work. And so consequently, every time people are playing with something when they're young, most of the time it becomes the reality of work in the future or the way we go about things. So that's why we're paying attention to that. Now, I want to look at the kind of the backside a little bit here, too. And this is all, you can see it in the movie Ready Player One, and I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I want to talk about the things that I think we need to be concerned about from a spiritual point of view and just from a societal point of view. First of all, virtual reality is more exciting than reality because everything is magical. Right. And so consequently, you're in all kinds of things that you could only imagine are happening in that reality. And the big danger, which they're already seeing somewhat of, is, you know, virtual reality is a whole lot more exciting than reality. So where am I motivated to go? virtual reality. And you saw this in Pokemon Go, which was just his first time it really went big, right? And that was a great game, it was fun and all that stuff quickly. But you can imagine what can happen when virtual reality is more exciting than your real life and what might happen with that. Secondly, virtual allows you to spruce up everything. So in other words, let's say you don't like something about your features, right? You know what? You can make it fantastic in virtual reality in any way you want to be. Bigger muscles, you know, more, you know, slimmer physiques, so whatever you want, blue eyes rather than green eyes. I mean, and so you can, everything can be spruced up everywhere. So everybody is doing avatar level and really, really visual avatar level of all of these things. And so you're not dealing with true reality is the problem with that. And the movie, I won't tell how, but it does a really big piece on the difference between these people in virtual and these people in reality. And they meet each other both places. And it's just a very big comment on what you're actually experiencing when you're virtual versus what reality is. So that's a second way here. Thirdly, virtual allows you to eliminate the negative and not necessarily face reality. So, you know, there's real funny things happening already in this is, you know, somebody can be shouting and you can put rainbows coming out of their mouth, right? Or you can, I mean, you can just take all these pieces and make them look so much better when in reality they're not better. And that can, when we're in that a lot, is that we might be avoiding reality. And one of the characters actually in the movie, you'll see that they're avoiding reality by the virtual expression of that. Or it's where a younger person can act like they're 36 when they're only 10 or something like that, right? So again, can allow you to not face that. Next, virtual can supercharge people living in their own worlds more than even now than the real one. What's that mean? We're already fighting against individuality out of control in our culture, where people design their own worlds. Well, this is literally designing your own world. You're not getting input on the virtual fields that might be, you know, directly opposite of what is really going on in reality, you know. And so, you know, I'll talk more about that in just a second. But the next thing I want to say is virtual reality makes reality augmented to all of our experiences, and you can't tell the difference between what's virtual, what's augmented, and what's real. So once again, it's that I don't know whether I'm dealing with the real world. And this won't spoil it, but I'll tell you a little bit later here exactly what Spielberg said as his major point in the movie. But the last one I want to say is that reality in a VR world is obviously avatar-based, and you're not really interacting face-to-face. And so your skills, and we're seeing this in the younger generation, can drop in terms of face-to-face interaction because I'm so used to doing it in an avatar world. I don't know how to interact with that in a real world. And let me tell you why that's so important. You may have heard this stuff about schemas, but schemas in our brain basically say there's so much information coming at us, we can't digest it all at once. So we have filters, and we have filters based upon what we believe, what we've experienced before, et cetera. That's why I took a year, for example, I listened to both conservative and liberal public radio. And you know what? They're seeing what they believe. You feel like these are two totally different worlds. Well, the reality is their schemas are so built up that they can't even see, if you will. Now, imagine that you layer on top of that a virtual world. And all of a sudden, I don't know what reality is, or I'm getting really out of touch with that. And I think we're going to see more of that as we go, right? So finally, because it's already hard for us to, in America especially today, to think about the whole and not just our individual part in terms of biblically speaking. So it's so easy to create my world and not be aware of the whole or be completely misunderstood about what the whole of what our community is. And this is not necessarily leading in the direction of making us know the whole. In fact, it may just draw us distracted into the fictitious. And I think that's going to be, and you're going to see how Spielberg speaks to that at the end of the movie, but here's what he says. Real in the end is the only thing that is real. And what he's trying to get at here is that there is a danger in this technology that can scare us. And it does scare people that are looking at it. That's been true of all technologies, but this one more so because of its the ability to immerse yourself within it. Well, you've been listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. We appreciate you listening today. We're going to do one last program on AR/VR next week, kind of what it's going to be. Then we're going to move on to the next arena in terms of what is that series. And then we're going to be moving into our People series in May, where we're going to actually be listening to people for 5 or 6 months about what they're doing in business with their faith. Well, we thank you for tuning in today. Once again, you can get all of our podcasts at the davidstarkcollective.com. You can get us on Twitter at Stark Collective. Remember, all of our podcasts under Working with Purpose are on iTunes. Thank you for taking time to listen today.